It's an all-new Football NYC on YesNetwork.com. Former offensive lineman Ross Tucker and Joe Callow give the best Big Apple football insight on the web, all about Big Blue and Gang Green.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
And here's Joe Callow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Football NYC. I'm Joe Callow, and I'm joined every week by former offensive lineman and one of our co-hosts of This Week in Football on the YES Network, the one, the only, Ross Tucker. How you doing, Ross?
Fantastic, Joe. Ready to get into it.
And, Ross, I can't remember the last time we had a weekend where there were so many blowouts. I mean, there were games that were in the 30s and 40s with teams scoring maybe 0 points, 3 points, and one of those games was the New York Jets against the Raiders. Now, we all got excited about the Raiders last week because they showed something against the Philadelphia Eagles, but I guess it really was the Eagles that really played a bad game, because this week the Jets just go out there and really just take it to them. Opening drive, and they don't look back.
It's hard to believe, isn't it, that the Raiders have two wins?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of teams out there that haven't won a game yet, and somehow that Raiders unit has two wins. But I like what the Jets did. You know, they're coming off a couple, or actually three, I should say, tough losses of their own, especially the home one to the Buffalo Bills. They went out there and they took care of the business from the opening whistle, from the get-go, which is exactly what they needed to do against a Raiders team that was showing some signs of life against the Eagles. What you want to do is you want to just establish yourself right away. They did that. Obviously, the turnovers with Jamarcus Russell really helped to the point where he actually got pulled, which I was surprised that Cable did that, because I thought that was an Al Davis and an Al Davis only move. But good win for the Jets. Good, solid win for the Jets. I think that hopefully, you know, that can get their swagger back, their confidence back a little bit.
And although Sanchez didn't have a great game, he did just enough to win the game. But against the Raiders, really just don't have to do anything to win a game. You just show up sometimes and you win the game. But one of the bad things that come out of the game is they lose Leon Washington for the year. And although Sean Green stepped in right away and did a fantastic job, how is this going to affect the Jets the rest of the way?
I think it really hurts them. Sean Green is a completely different player. You know, he's from Iowa. He's a banger. You know, he's a north and south runner. Leon Washington is a rare, rare special player in terms of what he does in special teams, in the kick return game at times, on third down, catching passes out of the backfield. I mean, look, I'm a Sean Green fan. I think he'll be a productive player, but he can't do what Leon Washington can do. And, in fact, I feel like Sean Green and Thomas Jones at this stage of Thomas's career are really very similar. So I think this is going to hurt this football team tremendously, because Leon Washington – typically will be the difference in at least one or two games with just his big plays. I mean, he was last year when Brett Favre was the quarterback. So this hurts, and obviously it hurts Leon. I know Leon pretty well, and obviously you feel for him, especially considering the fact that he hasn't signed the contract extension. Yeah. So now he's going to have to really fight back in rehab and try to earn one.
Well, now the Jets get back to their winning ways, and now they play Miami Dolphins. Just seems like a couple of weeks ago they just played them. Now they play them this week.
You're going to move on to the Dolphins without talking about the hot dog thing?
Oh, the Sanchez hot dog thing. Well, you know what? I don't know what to take away from this game.
Or Calvin Pace's three sacks.
Because, like, you know what? If it was against the Patriots or against the Dolphins or a big game, I would say, what's this guy doing eating hot dogs? But when you're playing the Raiders, maybe sometime it does feel like a preseason game. And maybe sometimes you want to just have some popcorn on the sidelines. But I agree with you. I think it was truly unprofessional. I mean, he's got to know.
No, that's not what I said.
Oh, you're saying he had the urge?
I have no problem with it at all.
Okay. So he should have followed up with a shake and fries.
Why do people care? I don't understand why people care. What, that's disrespectful?
Yeah, well.
When was it? It was the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, but, you know, it was time. He was hungry.
He was hungry.
I know.
You know, here, let me just say something to all the listeners out there, Football NYC. You eat the pregame meal. You eat breakfast at, like, 9 a.m.
Right. That's it.
You're done. You don't eat again until later on. I had no problem with, I mean, I was couldn't tell whether it was ketchup or mustard, which would spark a whole other debate about what you actually put on the hot dog. But I didn't have a problem with it whatsoever. I really didn't. I don't understand. And supposedly he apologized for it. What's he apologizing for?
No.
I mean, if he was eating like an orange peel or an energy bar, nobody would care. So he had a hot dog. The game was over in his mind, at least. I have no problem with it.
Right. And from his point of view, I mean, I'm not sticking up for him, but from his point of view, you know, You don't eat again until you get on the plane, which is about maybe two or three hours
later.
Yeah,
sometimes they'll have something in the locker room right afterwards. Right. But, I mean, I don't understand the knock on hot. It's a quality meat product.
Well, when you're playing the Raiders, I guess you could take some time off. Next time, maybe he'll bring a TV dinner next time. Maybe he'll bring his own food to the game. But the
Jets, he needs to make sure he brings Calvin Pace.
Yeah.
Calvin Pace with the three sacks, by far his best games.
And they are going to need him this week because Henny did a great job against him the last time they played the Miami Dolphins. It was in Miami. This game is now back in New York at the Meadowlands, and the Jets really need to win this game. I mean, okay, that was a great victory against the Raiders last week, but you don't want to take away too much from that. There'll be no hot dogs being eaten on the sideline this week because they have to have their head in the game because the Dolphins are coming off a really surprising game, which they had a huge lead over the New Orleans Saints, but the New Orleans Saints just showed everybody how great they are.
Yeah, and the Dolphins are still running the football on everybody. If Ted Ginn could catch the football, you know, the Dolphins might have won that game. Or if Tony Sparano doesn't take the timeout at the end of the first half, the Dolphins might have won that game. I think this is trouble for the New York Jets. I really do. I know a lot of people think that the Dolphins are going to lose this game, but I like what I've seen from the Dolphins so far. They just run the ball so effectively. Remember what Rex Ryan said last time? You know, he made Chad Henne look like Dan Marino. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to come after Henne this time. A lot of pressure, a lot of blitzes. I just don't understand the schedule makers. Am I in bizarro world? Did they not just play 2 weeks ago?
And a big division game. I mean, this is one of those games.
They played 2 weeks ago.
And you need to have this game at the end of the season. It's a big division game. The Dolphins won the division last year, so you knew the Jets were going to be pretty decent this year. I agree with you. I don't know why it's later in the season, but it is this week. Ross doesn't like the Jets' chances this week. He thinks Miami's going to have a big game against the Jets. We're going to be right back with some Giants talk, who unfortunately, 2 weeks in a row, suffering some losses. We'll be right back with some Football NYC. This is Joe Cowell and Ross Tucker.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
We are back with Football NYC. I'm Joe Callow, along with Ross Tucker, and we spoke about the New York Jets, who had a pretty easy week against the Oakland Raiders. The Giants, on the other hand, coming off a really bad loss against the Saints, come home to play a game on Sunday night against the Arizona Cardinals. And the Giants, for me, what I took away from this game is the Giants showed no emotion. They didn't feel like they were excited to play at home, and they were coming off a bad loss. They really just showed nothing in this game. What did you take away from it?
How you doing, Joe?
Not too good. I didn't like what I saw.
Sit on the couch, Joe. Sit
on my couch.
You know
what, Ross?
Let's talk.
It's one thing to get blown out like they did against the Saints, and a lot of people are saying we should have seen this coming because they were playing a long stretch of bad teams. But this week, there's really no excuse why the Giants didn't just seize this game from the opening drive. They were really going after Kurt Warner. They never really got to him like they wanted to. And I think the defense did an okay job, I mean, containing the receivers. But the offense just really showed nothing all night. And Eli Manning, I've been saying this for years. I love the guy. I've always sung his praises. But in that stadium, he really has a tough time throwing. Maybe it was a little breezy that night. But in the second and third quarter, when he's going that one direction, his balls just stay in the air. They're off target. And that one touchdown to Hicks could have been an interception.
Yeah, they're very fortunate. Now, I don't think it's time to panic if you're a Giants fan by any stretch of the imagination. But some flaws are being exposed right now, some serious flaws. This game is a war of attrition, and I think, you know, no Kenny Phillips, you know, no Aaron Ross. I think those things are starting to hurt. I think even no Kareem McKenzie hurt a little bit in this football game. But I really like your astute observation, Joe, about the intensity. That's what I noticed when I watched the game. It just didn't seem like they were that into it. I mean, you're playing Sunday night football, prime time, at home, coming off a loss like that, I thought they were going to come out like gangbusters. And I wonder, now I wasn't there, but I wonder, do you think the crowd was not as fired up or not as juiced up because the Yankees were playing at the same time and everybody's listening to the Yankees game in their ears? I don't know what was going on. I didn't sense that the stadium was buzzing.
Yeah, and going to the Giant game for 8 straight years like I did when I was with the Giants, I used to notice the 1 o'clock games, even on third down, I mean, for me as a home fan, every third down I should be up and I should be cheering, supporting this team. And I used to notice the 1 o'clock games, really, there was nobody. And I used to even get upset at the crowd because the other team would be in a big third down and the crowd would just be dead. But the other night, you know, it wasn't as bad as what I thought it would be, because I thought a lot of people, I agree with you, were going to follow the Yankees. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, the crowd was pretty up for the game, but the Giants really gave them nothing to cheer for. And usually they do a really good job against Kurt Warner. Even when he played on the Rams, the Giants used to have some really close games with them in St. Louis. And I just thought this was the right time for Kurt Warner to come in, because Drew Brees just made him look silly last week. Kurt Warner has a tendency to sit back there, and especially when it's third and long, he sits back there and you have a chance to knock the ball loose. The Giants just couldn't get to him as much as they wanted to. And I agree with you. I really think the injuries, because I'm looking at the defense, even when the game started and they're introducing their names on TV on Channel 4, and they're introducing the defense, and I'm going, wow, look at these names. I mean, C.C. Brown and Chase Blackburn, I'm going, this is the number one ranked defense in the league. You know, they don't have Candy. And I think Boley not being out there really hurt him, because let's face it, Pierce cannot drop back in coverage anymore. And this week, I don't know about the status of Brian Westbrook, but this is the reason why they got Boley for a week like this. And I just think the Giants' injuries are starting to tally up. And I think the wide receivers, the inexperience of the wide receivers showed a little bit now, with Manningham missing that ball. And Steve Smith, they just couldn't get open in this game.
Well, and I just think it's a lot of mistakes. I mean, Eli had some poor throws. Ahmad Bradshaw with the fumble and the personal foul penalty. Mario Manningham with the drop. You know, you're just not going to win games when you have that many mistakes. I'll give you one example. I was watching it, Joe, and Sean O'Hara and Rich Soibert just completely let Darnell Dockett go through the middle of the line one play. It's like they weren't on the same page. That very rarely happens to those guys. You know how much I love the Giants O-line. They let Dockett come scot-free, and he blasted Eli. I mean, that should never ever happen. And I think that's a big concern. You know, I don't know what happens with Westbrook. Obviously, Monday night, you know, he got the concussion when London Fletcher, you know, kneed him in the head. That's a big concern for the Eagles, because he's been a Giant killer at times. But this is going to be a tough game for the Giants. I mean, this is going to be – I'm leaning towards the Giants. Yeah. I'm going to take the Giants, because I don't really think the Eagles are playing all that well. I mean, they lost the Raiders last night. I mean, if it wasn't for all the Redskins turnovers Monday night, and if it wasn't for DeSean Jackson's two big plays on Monday night, I think, you know, the Redskins actually could have won.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the Giants, basically because the Eagles aren't really playing that great, and I just can't see the G-men losing three in a row.
And I've said it, I think the Giants are a better road team than they are home team. And you know what? Eli, watching the whole game, I just was never high on the Giants. I always thought it was just being set up to lose the game. And when Eli usually takes them on that last drive to either tie the game or go ahead, I'm so confident in this man. I mean, I sat there in Dallas and I watched him just knowing that he was going to win this game. The other night, I'm sitting there watching and I'm going, it's just not happening tonight. I just know it. I just feel it. Even after the Bradshaw fumble, the Giants still had a chance to tie the game. And the way he was dropping back, throwing off his back foot again, and just having that look again, I just didn't like what I saw out of them. And I think this week, I do think it's going to help them by going to play in Philly. I don't know why it's going to help them to play a division game on the road. I just think they play more to the level of the opponent on the road, and I think it's going to be a tough game. I always lean towards the home team in a division game, and I think the Giants are going to come out and play this game close. It could go either way. I think the Giants will win too. But then again, I think the Giants will win every week.
Yeah, and what a day, by the way. Eagles, Giants, Yankees, Phillies. I mean, Sunday on Broad Street, Broad and Patterson. It's going to be crazy in Philadelphia.
So Ross likes the Giants to bounce back this week in a close game against the Eagles. We're going to come right back and talk about some of the more interesting game this weekend, because I think there were only two or three of them. We'll be right back with some Football NYC, Joe Callow, Ross Tucker.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
We are back, segment three, Football NYC. Joe Callow, Ross Tucker, and last week, Ross, I told you to have your coat and your gloves ready to go down to Pittsburgh and enjoy a game between the Steelers and the Vikings. And look at that. You could have wore a tank top out there. It was beautiful weather out. And I think the Minnesota Vikings did a decent job in this game. You know, without those couple of defensive plays from the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is a very close game.
Yeah, I'm extremely impressed with the Vikings. Even in a losing effort, you know, defensively, they're playing pretty solid, especially given the fact that one of their two or three best defensive players, Antoine Winfield, didn't even play.
Yeah.
He's got that foot injury. Now, they didn't put as much pressure on Big Ben as I thought they would, but they contained the Steelers' offense, which had been coming on like gangbusters for the most part. The difference in the game was really the Steelers' defense in their own red zone. They gave up a lot of yards. I mean, Brett Favre threw for over 300 yards again. But when they were backed up, it's kind of like the old Penn State defenses that I grew up with, bend but don't break. That's what the Steelers were. Because everybody will point out those two defensive touchdowns, and rightfully so. But the series before that, they had a goal line stand. I mean, they stopped. The Vikings had first and goal at the one.
Yeah.
They stuffed Adrian Peterson, who's a bad, bad man. And then two incomplete passes later, the Vikings had to kick the field goal. So that was a huge play in that game as well. I think it's funny because people that maybe didn't watch the game would say, oh, man, Brett Favre had two turnovers in the fourth quarter and they turned him for touchdowns. You know, it's the old Brett Favre. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he really played well. The interception wasn't his fault at all. It went right through Chester Taylor's hands.
Yep.
The fumble, he probably could have had a little bit better control of the ball. But Steve Hutchinson, their Pro Bowl left guard, he can't get beat by Brett Kiesel like that.
And I don't want to take away too much from a loss, but considering that the Minnesota Vikings and Favre had this trip coming up this week at Green Bay, which that's the place where you'll be this weekend, another great game for you. I think they did an outstanding job playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you have to expect this out of the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. They're always strong with their defense. And defensive turnovers, something like that, where they turn it into 6 points, is not surprising with the Steelers in that stadium. So we both thought that the Steelers were going to win this game. I didn't expect the Vikings to play as well as they did. Now you have Favre going to Green Bay. It's the national game at 4 o'clock. What do you like?
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to be there. I've only ever been to Lambeau Field a couple times. And I just can't wait, Joe, to see the way Favre is treated by the fans, by the Packers fans. I really don't know what to expect. You know, are they going to be cheering for him, anybody? Is it going to be a round of boos? Or, I mean, there's a chance it'd be like dead silence because people won't know what
to do
one way or the other. I can't wait. The problem, I think, for the Packers in this game is even though they're at home and Aaron Rodgers is playing very well, their line play is still suspect to me. And I still just think that the Vikings have an advantage up front. Which is why I'm kind of been going back and forth on this one. I'm going to go with the Packers because they're at home, and I don't think that they'll have as many turnovers. But I think they'll be very, very close.
And another game I wanted to touch on this weekend was the Denver Broncos, who are 6-0, coming off a bye week, going up against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, three straight losses, given it was a tough loss with a missed field goal against Minnesota. Baltimore really needs this game. So do you see Baltimore being the team that's going to get ahead in this game because they just need it more?
I do. This is actually my bonus pick for this week in football on the YES Network. I'm taking the Ravens. I mean, they've lost three in a row here, really all of them in heartbreaking fashion.
Yeah.
The Patriots, then the Bengals, then the Vikings with the missed kick. I just think this is a resilient football team in Baltimore. They're playing at home. And let's be honest, this game means more to them than it does to Denver. I think it'll be a close game. But they're both coming off of byes.
Yeah.
And I expect the Ravens to come out like absolute gangbusters. I mean, can you imagine a scenario where the Baltimore Ravens are 3-4?
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
And losing ground to the Pittsburgh Steelers now in the division. And look at the Cincinnati Bengals, you know.
The Bengals are playing extremely well. They're a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, losing home to the Texans. Maybe that says a lot about the Texans.
Yeah.
And how the Texans are playing these days. Because they just got another win. Against the San Francisco 49ers. But I expect Baltimore to win. I think Joe Flacco is playing extremely well. He's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League, so I like the Ravens at home.
And the last game I wanted to talk about was the Monday night game, the Atlanta Falcons coming off a bad loss to the Dallas Cowboys against your favorite Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. Really impressive comeback this week in Miami. The game is in New Orleans where Drew Brees just throws the ball all over the place. Do you see the Atlanta Falcons losing two in a row?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Yeah, Saints win, Drew Brees. I'm not picking against him.
Yeah.
I can't do
you
it.
You can't.
No, I'm borderline infatuated with what they've got going on down there. It's just amazing to me. And even Darren Sharper, what he's done defensively at his age, they really are doing a nice job this year all three phases of the game. Reggie Bush scored a touchdown through the air from 7 yards away. I mean, it's unbelievable. The different guys, Jeremy Shockey's making plays.
Shockey's an animal.
Yeah, I like the Saints in this game. I think the Falcons, they're another kind of inconsistent team. They're kind of up and down. You think, oh, man, they're really good. Now, they've only lost at the Patriots and at the Cowboys. There's no sin in doing that. But I think they're going to lose as well at the Saints. And this is a huge game, if you think about it, in terms of division title ramifications, because the Falcons lose this one, then they're three games down. That's tough.
Yeah. So Ross does like all three home teams that we just spoke about, the Green Bay Packers, the Baltimore Ravens, and Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. As always, Ross, thanks for joining me. We'll be back next week where it'll be the halfway point of the season already. I can't believe it. Everybody have a nice Halloween. Keep coming back to YesNetwork.com for all of your football needs, where later in the week I'll be doing the big video broadcast with myself and Joe Auriemma. Once again, thanks for joining us. Ross Tucker, Joe Callow saying, see ya.